Celebrate good times. Come on. Okay, I'll never do that again. But welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. And I know that I sounded horrible singing, but I'm going to be completely honest with you. I do not care. Grizzlies basketball is back, and that leads us to another special Saturday episode of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. As always, it's a pleasure to join you, and hope that you had a great week and that you are having a great holiday season to you and your loved ones wherever you are. But it's finally here. It is the preseason. These games do not count, but who cares? Grizzlies basketball is officially back. And there's no better reason than to be just as excited as you could possibly be. And the great thing about it is this, is that yes, we had Grizzlies basketball 4 months ago. Yes, it was exciting to see them play on an every other day basis, which we're going to get now. But the great thing about it this time around is that we hopefully, COVID being willing to cooperate, we hopefully are going to get Grizzlies basketball now for the foreseeable future. Up until the five-day layoff that will come with the All-Star break in late March, you're looking at three months of nothing but Grizzlies basketball, and there could be no more reason to be excited if you're a Grizzlies fan. As always, you can follow the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC, the show through Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, the podcast app on your phone, wherever you listen to your podcast, Locked On Grizzlies is there. In today's episode, it's our preseason preview. Not really going to get too much into the breakdown of our opponents. We're playing Minnesota and Atlanta twice, but just some general fun things to look out for regarding our opponents and the Grizzlies. The fun aspect of getting back into the groove of basketball in the first segment. In the second and third segments, I'll go into detail about a few things that I hope to see specifically that really would be encouraging for the Grizzlies as they head into the start of the season, starting December 23rd against the Spurs. But it starts tonight in Minnesota. The Grizzlies will be in Minnesota playing two games back-to-back, obviously, the way that the NBA schedule was going, in a way to do all that they can to limit the chance of potential COVID-19, you know, outbreaks or positive tests or whatever, however you want to describe it. You know, they're having teams play basically in kind of mini bubbles, you know, in back-to-back games in the same location. And so the Grizzlies will be there, I believe, tonight and Monday. They will be there playing two games against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now, obviously, the Minnesota Timberwolves, you know, are not in terms of, you know, where you would rank them in terms of being just the most appealing teams to play. I get it. They're probably not up there in the top tier. But I do think that just like the Atlanta Hawks, there's plenty of reasons to really enjoy this game. I mean, one thing that people may not come to the top of their mind, but when you look over the past 6 years, if I remember correctly, over the past 6 years since Karl Anthony Towns was drafted in the 2015, first in the 2015 draft, four of the top one, of the top two picks in the past 6 years NBA drafts are actually going to be playing tonight and then on Monday. Ja Morant was number two in 2019. Anthony Edwards for the Timberwolves was number one this year. And of course, D'Angelo Russell is a former number two overall pick for the Lakers, and then, of course, Karl Anthony Towns was number one overall for the Timberwolves. And in general, you know, while, you know, D'Angelo Russell, you know, probably has not lived up to his number two overall status, I think that he certainly has as of now. I think when you compare him to other number two overall picks, he's pretty decent. But when it comes to just the allure of the natural talent that's going to be there, you know, we also get to see names like Ricky Rubio and, of course, you know, the Grizzlies players as well. There's plenty of reason to want to enjoy tonight's game, other than the fact that it's simply Grizzlies basketball getting back into place. And you know, something that you know, I mentioned the locker room app. It's a new cool concept. You go to the app store, you can download it. It's a way to connect with other NBA fans and sports fans in general through audio conversation via an app on your phone. But one cool thing about it is that there is a broad variance of opinions when it comes to Karl Anthony Towns, someone who I feel is definitely one of the top 15 players in the NBA. I mean, when you consider the centers in the league, you consider Anthony Davis, you consider Nikola Jokic, you consider Joel Embiid. I think after that, yes, Bama Adebayo may have a claim, but at least being within the top five, I think Karl Anthony Towns certainly is within the top five and certainly has a case to be in the top three. So anytime getting to see him play is fun. Now, I'll tell you this, And one thing that I'm hoping to see the Grizzlies do a better job of than they've done in the past, every time we play Karl Anthony Towns, it seems like he's grabbing every other offensive or defensive rebound. So it's not necessarily that I love to see him play from against the Grizzlies from a basketball concept, but it is the fun aspect of seeing such a talented basketball player play. Now, the other aspect of things going along with this theme of the high picks is we get to see number one overall pick Anthony Edwards, hopefully, you know, for an extended period. I'm not sure if the Timberwolves injury report at this time, but I've not heard of anything where he would not be playing. We'll get to see him, obviously, you know, to begin the preseason. And in the second segment, I'll get a little bit more into this, but I do find that intriguing because now the Grizzlies are going to have a point guard in the first four games of the preseason. Of course, with the idea of the natural talents we're going to get to see, they're up and down the Atlanta roster with Trae Young and Cam Reddish, you know, Okongwu, John Collins, and others. But the one thing that I'm really interested to see when it comes to the Grizzlies is how they are going to be able to defend and hopefully to an extent limit the play of very talented point guards in Russell, Rubio, and Trae Young, as well as the fact that they're going to face some natural talents on the wing with the young wings that Atlanta has, as well as Anthony Edwards, you know, on the wing, obviously, and then obviously down low with Clint Capella in Atlanta and also Karl Anthony Towns. So in terms of the teams that the Grizzlies are facing, they're going to be facing legitimate, you know, significant talents at all three tiers, you know, at the point guard position, on the wing, and down low. The Grizzlies are going to have to contend with plenty of talent at all three positions from both teams. And so seeing how, you know, number one, they, you know, first match up with them, and also number two, how they adjust will really be intriguing. But yeah, just in general, the natural talents the Grizzlies are going to be playing, it's going to be fun to watch. Seeing how much fun it's going to be for those players to be back on the court is going to be a lot of fun to watch. And just seeing how the Grizzlies adjust will also be truly, you know, worthwhile seeing, you know, seeing if they can quickly make needed adjustments to get better outcomes as this preseason goes along. But what specifically are should we be looking for that hopefully will indicate to us that the Grizzlies are going to be able to get a successful start to the season? Not much specifics right now without seeing actual performances on the court, but I do think there are a few areas that we should focus on as fans that hopefully will give us indications that this Grizzlies team is really ready to go to start the season. We'll discuss that coming up when we come back from this break on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Does it ever feel like you're trying to get through the day and a wall just comes out of nowhere? You know, if it's just getting up to get out of bed to get to work, maybe getting up to get out of bed to go to class or start a big task that you've been putting off, like losing weight or finding a job. Maybe it's something simple like me where I just run into a wall where I don't want to come back to work after eating a good lunch. Whatever your wall may be, I think I have a solution, and that's Built Go. Built Go is the easy to take in 1.5 ounce of workout gel, and it's the best workout gel on the market. Compared to other similar ideas out there in terms of giving you energy to be productive, it gives you the energy just like those other products, but it also does not give you any negative impact, such as crashing later or potentially, you know, not being productive. The great thing about it, their great thing about Built Go is not only does it taste great, but it combines collagen protein with many other essential assets that allow for you to not only be energized throughout the day, but give you plenty of reason to be productive. And if you go to BuiltGo.com right now and you use the promo code LOCKED, again, that's the promo code LOCKED, you'll get 20% off your next order of Built Go. I can tell you this, though, with confidence. Once you add Built Go to your daily routine, it's going to be here to stay. Again, go to BuiltGo.com, put in the promo code LOCKED, and get 20% off your next order from Built Go. Let's go. Coming up this week, we're going to start going around the Memphis market with some very fun names that I know a lot of Grizzlies fans have come to love and enjoy, and that we will be discussing the, you know, some season previews with those folks. Leading off will likely be Joe Mullinax from Grizzly Bear Blues. Me and Joe have been talking. We'll probably set up a time early next week to discuss the season preview, but I had the pleasure of speaking with him on Grizzly Bear Blues Live last week. Always a pleasure to catch up with him at Locked On Grizzlies, so really excited to talk with Joe, and I'll also be giving my player previews, looking at the prominent players for Memphis. What can they do to take the next step for themselves and the Grizzlies for Memphis to really emerge as playoff contenders? We will discuss that coming up in episodes this week, so certainly looking forward to that, obviously along with breaking down the preseason games. But when it comes to these preseason games, you know, obviously it's better to go 4-0 than 0-4, but the idea of a successful preseason is not based in wins and losses. It's based on seeing encouraging results or see an improvement in clear areas where the Grizzlies are hoping to see their roster and getting ready for the season. Going into season two, despite all that's gone on in this unprecedented year, going into season two, the Grizzlies, in my opinion, are likely in a lot better. I mean, they talked about it. They're in a lot better position. The players have better understanding of what Coach Jenkins is expected the second year, you know, into his tenure, and with this roster having much more continuity than it had, you know, from last summer to the first year. And also, Coach Jenkins knows his players much better than he did last year. So he knows where the strengths are. He knows where his players' abilities are and how to put them in the position to succeed. Put them in positions where their strengths can be featured. In this preseason, I'm sure that Coach Jenkins' goal is to set up situations in which the Grizzlies can improve in areas that they certainly need to improve. And of course, Wednesday and the Thursday in the podcast, I talked about areas where the Grizzlies are certainly going to need to improve, and that's shooting the three, defending the three, and limiting mistakes. Now, the thing to know about these preseason games is that, you know, trying to gain a good idea of whether or not the Grizzlies are going to be able to significantly limit mistakes going forward, it's going to be hard to tell that right now. The Timberwolves themselves, they actually have not played basketball for 9 months. The Grizzlies have played a total of 9 games over the past 9 months. So there's likely going to be sloppy basketball. That's expected. That's fine. But in general, in what the Grizzlies can control, the one thing that I would love to see is just clear understanding that up and down the roster, smart decisions are being made. Hopefully, there's not a lot of forced shots. Hopefully, there's not a lot of bad passes. Hopefully, there's not a lot of errors in communication. You obviously expect those things when you start playing again after a long layoff. But for instance, when it comes to Dylan Brooks' shot selections, I would love to see that, you know, if in a normal situation where we probably think that he would take a shot, he makes the extra pass to try to get a higher percentage look for him or one of his teammates. On defense, good team communication. We've heard it lauded all offseason long, and for good reason, that the Grizzlies have been focused not only on communication when it comes to team defense, but also on their one-on-one opportunities. Can the Grizzlies during this preseason create more situations, especially on the perimeter, where the perimeter defender for the Grizzlies makes the opposing player, basically forces him into an unfavorable situation, picking up the ball to pass instead of shooting, not allowing for him to get to the rim, making a bad shot or making an ill-advised pass. If the Grizzlies can do that on a frequent basis, that certainly is the step forward. But another thing that I'm really interested to see when it comes to the Grizzlies is what combinations we may start to see Taylor Jenkins favoring when it comes to his roster and different lineups that he may prefer. Now, I would imagine that Taylor Jenkins is not going to tip his hand too much. You know, that would kind of be at a disadvantage for him and the Grizzlies. But we've seen some encouraging, we are not necessarily encouraging, we've seen certain players being featured in some of these, you know, workout videos that the Grizzlies have shown. Put whatever value you want to in that. But Grayson Allen, for instance, certainly seems to be someone who may be getting a look in the starting lineup. And as I discussed with Joe Molinax over at Grizzly Bear Blues, it makes a bit of sense in that, yeah, Grayson Allen may not have the highest ceiling like I think Desmond Bane does of the options that the Grizzlies have at shooting guard. And he may not have the most experience or have the best opportunity to add two-way value like DeAnthony Melton does. But the one thing that Grayson does do, and he has, you know, right now a claim in the bucket to be, is the Grizzlies' best shooter with Jaren Jackson Jr. being out. He showed his capability of being a catch-and-shoot, movement-type shooter in the bubble, as well as making heady plays when he needed to really create a difference. Now, on defense, he's probably a liability. He's more of a guy who you want to buy into a team concept to kind of shield his liabilities instead of being someone who tries to be on an island too much. But I think that with Grayson getting potential run, you're looking at, again, at Coach Jenkins really setting up his team to have multiple shooters out on the perimeter. And so that's the first thing, besides limiting mistakes, that I really would love to see the Grizzlies, you know, start to do more. As these preseason games gets going, what type of emphasis is on schemes and strategies in terms of ball movement or getting into the paint where we know that the Grizzlies can excel, using that as kind of a decoy to then create passes out to the outside for a high percentage look at three-pointers. You know, we talked about it a bit this week also. When it comes to Taylor Jenkins, he's made it clear in media sessions, his goal is high percentage shots. And it's when it comes to getting, you know, two-pointers, it's getting into the lane. because he knows that he has an advantage there with players such as Jonas Valanciunas, Ja Morant, and Brandon Clark. But then feeding off of that, if the defenses start buying into that, they have to collapse. Well, then that allows for kickout opportunities to the Grizzlies shooters out on the three for them to get high percentage looks. And the Grizzlies obviously know they have more talent than they expected to have last year this year that they could really feature. So the number one, a few things are limiting mistakes, obviously, is the first thing, but you have to, you know, take that with a grain of salt because of the fact that the Grizzlies and the Timberwolves and the Hawks are going to be playing for the first few times that they played in quite a while. But also in terms of the Grizzlies on offense, can they really do a good job of making sure to implement kickout opportunities or through ball movement, getting better high percentage looks consistently from three? That's another instance, that's another aspect of this team that I really hope you kind of gain from this preseason, just like you saw them do in the scrimmage in the bubble. We all were really excited about unexpected sources of shooting the three, getting good looks and delivering in terms of De'Anthony Melton and Kyle Anderson, how well they shot from the three in those three scrimmages in the bubble. Now, unfortunately, it didn't translate that well, you know, into the bubble, you know, when the games counted. But if the Grizzlies can generate that same type of excitement from creating high percentage look for threes for players up and down their roster, maybe this time around it will really translate into the season, which will be a big development for this team to take that next step and improve in the areas that it needs to improve through going into the playoffs. We're going to take our last break, and when I come back, a few more areas of interest that I really hope to see the Grizzlies have productive results in as we navigate through the preseason up until our opening game against San Antonio on December 23rd. It's almost here. The 2020-2021 NBA season is almost here, and the Locked On NBA podcast has you covered and will get you ready with a special week of shows beginning December 14th. Get previews of every team, division by division, from all 30 of our Locked On local experts, including us here at Locked On Grizzlies, plus waiver wire additions from Locked On Fantasy Basketball, rookies to watch from Chad Ford, and predictions on each division from Rejecting the Scream. Subscribe to Locked On NBA wherever you get your podcasts, and enjoy. So we're talking about different areas in which the Grizzlies hopefully, different areas to focus on as far as the Grizzlies go. We talked about limiting mistakes, and we also talked about implementing strategies and schemes that will allow for the Grizzlies to consistently get better high percentage looks from three. That's obviously on the offensive end. On the defensive end, communication, I think, is going to be key because of the parts that you now have in place that really can contribute to that. I think that it's very important that the Grizzlies are going to have communication because with that, that's going to allow for them to have a better chance of maximizing their strengths and minimizing their weaknesses. Now, if you talked with the Grizzlies in their media sessions, you know, I asked, you know, a few players and I also asked Coach Jenkins, you know, what about defense are you really focusing on after a season in which you did struggle at times from the perimeter? And they brought up a good point. They were top 10 in the league when it came to defending the paint. And one of the reasons why they were top 10 in the league was because as a team, they fed off each other well and were highly effective at limiting high percentage shots near the basket for other teams. Now it's figuring out how to consistently do that on the perimeter. And that's not something that's going to likely change, you know, in terms of just a drastic improvement. You're going to eventually have to get better talent to do that. Of course, Justice Winslow and Jaren Jackson Jr. will certainly help out with that when they come back. But in the meantime, it's staying disciplined. It's being aggressive, but staying disciplined. Trying not to foul, staying in place, not giving in to fakes, not being too aggressive where you take yourself out of plays, and just staying disciplined. Staying committed to the strategies that you know will work and that Coach Jenkins has shown will work within playing the team defense. But communication is going to be key. Players that, you know, really stand out are Kyle Anderson, De'Anthony Melton, and in my opinion, rookie Xavier Tillman, because that's something that Tillman excelled at in Michigan State, was good communication when it came to calling the right defensive schemes, calling the right adjustments, things such as that. He's going to have the best view in the back. Him, Jonas Valanciunas, Brandon Clark, all those guys are going to have the best units in the back. So really talking and communicating. And if one person sees something that's not favorable, they immediately adjust what needs to be done to try to take away that advantage for the defense. But just in general, I just want to see the Grizzlies really start to gel like we saw them do last season. You know, we're going to have some folks out. Obviously, Jaren and Justice are out. Killian Tilly, unfortunately, is out. You know, while it is just a hamstring strain, again, with Tilly, the thing about it is he has had enough of an injury history where it always kind of sticks out a little bit more, no matter how small the injury is when he's on the injured list. Tonight, it's unlikely that Brandon Clark and Jontay Porter are going to be playing, so the Grizzlies are certainly going to be limited when it comes to the front court. Xavier Tillman, Gorgui Dieng, Kyle Anderson, Jonas Valanciunas, they're likely going to get some run. Questionable tonight is Kyle Anderson and De'Anthony Melton. I would imagine we see them, you know, in very limited action, but still we'll certainly see them get to play. But we still get to see Job, we get to see Dylan. It'll be interesting tonight to kind of see how the backcourt unit, you know, if there's any type of hierarchy revealed, who starts, who gets the most run. Is there a duo that gets extended run with either Jaw or Tyus? I think that'll be interesting to see. But just really seeing this Grizzlies team gel, seeing that they are that they know each other. There's not a lot of errors in terms of you saw something that was there, one person had an idea and another person didn't. That's the thing that the Grizzlies are also really going to hope comes to fruition for them. They're going to have to be in chemistry. Because in general, just straightforward, it's hard to convince me that in terms of natural talent, the Grizzlies are a team that really has a true shot at the NBA playoffs without a bit of external help this season like they had last year. I don't mean that as a negative. You hardly ever see a team that's entering the second year of their rebuild have the natural talent to be considered a true playoff contender. But if they have the chemistry, they have the connection, they have the intelligence of trusting each other to know what's going on and limiting mistakes, like we talked about in the second segment, that overall amplifies. It kind of improves your ability to stay consistently playing at high levels. And that's really what I would like to see the Grizzlies be able to do. See when Ja Morant or Tyus Jones have the ball, excellent off the ball movement around the 3-point line for one of the perimeter players to get open for three. If the ball gets into the paint, using our bigs as ways to facilitate, to find open shooters if help defense comes to comes to guard them. Seeing Jonas, for instance, I know that over at Fast Break Breakfast, friend of the show Keith Parrish, he talked with Jonas a week or so ago about Jonas ending last season with the two highest assist totals in his career. If Jonas can become any type of facilitator, consistent facilitator in the paint each night, that's going to be a huge development for the Grizzlies, especially if that allows Jaren Jackson Jr. to stay more out on the perimeter when he comes back as a shooter. So if Jonas can become any type of facilitator, that obviously will be a big development. And through gelling with each other, it goes back to the buzzwords that Taylor Jenkins has really, really focused on in these media sessions: playmaking, versatility, and it leading to high percentage looks. The thing that I feel Taylor Jenkins ideally wants in his offensive system, he wants to have shooting options 1-5, and he wants to have at least 3 playmaking options. One in the secondary playmaker to support Ja, obviously, but also someone in the paint who can facilitate. If he has, and the way that the Grizzlies can do that with their starting lineup, even without Justice and Jaren, is Ja obviously is doing what he's doing, making the incremental improvements that he needs to on his path to being the superstar. But if Dylan can show better decision-making through better passing and also getting better percentage looks on his shots from distance, and Jonas can improve his playmaking, that is a very, very intriguing improvement from the three main talents right now that you view as your clear-cut starters. If you can see that type of improvements from them, that should trickle down the roster, not only in terms of giving examples to the younger guys of how it is to improve and giving them more confidence in improving, but also elevating their games, because your three main components right now are doing better at really helping the rest of the roster to become more effective and more consistent. So, you know, not only gelling, but also an emphasis on smart and intelligent playmaking. I think that that's something also to look for when it comes to this preseason. So limiting mistakes, consistently getting better high percentage looks, really communicating on defense, and also the chemistry developing between the quickly developing between the roster to allow for effective playmaking to consistently be something they can rely on. If we can look at those four things and be like, you know, hey, here's a few specific examples from these four games that I really think shows that they do have a lot of ability in this area, I think that that's what will define a very good preseason for the Memphis Grizzlies. So enjoy it. It's going to be an enjoyable night. Don't get too discouraged if there's sloppy basketball. That's to be expected. But overall, hopefully it will be an encouraging night for the Grizzlies. Of course, we want to win, but at the end of the day, we want to walk away healthy and confident that our roster is continuing to gel together and that despite the youth, the talent will shine through and really allow for the Grizzlies to get off to a hot start, one that they need with the true playoff aspirations that they have. Again, my name is Sean Coleman. Follow me at StatsSAC, the show at Locked On Grizz. You can find the podcast wherever it's available, and we ask that when you go, listen to it, subscribe to it, review it, let us know what you think. Give us content you'd like for us to discuss. We always want to make sure we're providing content that's relevant to our listeners' preferences. We're going to talk to you soon. We'll have plenty to talk about, and finally, we'll have live basketball to talk about the next time we join you. And until then, we hope that you have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.